Welcome to the Seek 24 podcast. I'm John Michael Lucido, and I am so glad that you are here. This podcast is a place of community, collaboration, and inspiration, created to invite and encourage you deeper into relationship with Jesus. So, here we go.
I was on my skateboard, skating across campus at Arizona State University. I was a freshman at the time, and I had committed to following Jesus with my life as a student there, which was an alternative thing to do on a campus of 65,000 students that was very well known for its party culture. I lived very differently, but alongside my peers in college. And the night before I was skating around on my skateboard, I had had dinner with a friend in the Manzanita Hall cafeteria there in Tempe, Arizona. This friend had said, "We need to have a conversation." So I said, "Okay." I met up with him at the cafeteria. And in this conversation that we had, he let me know that all the people in the dorm that I had formed friendships with, that I thought I was really close to, that they constantly made fun of me behind my back. That I was constantly mocked and made fun of. I never went to parties, so I was labeled high and mighty and judgmental. And in that moment, I realized that these people I thought were my close friends were not my friends at all. Have you ever had that moment in your life where you're like, oh, this is not what I thought it was at all? I was honestly devastated. And the night after, I was skating across campus, as I did very often after I finished my homework. I would skate around campus, and I hit a rock, and I went flying off my skateboard. And this is the shirt that I was wearing when that happened. This was the shirt I was wearing. And I laid down on the ground after this fall, and I just laid there feeling so defeated and so broken down and so devastated because, first of all, I was a freshman trying to figure out my life. How many of y'all are freshmen trying to figure out your lives? Yeah, it ain't easy. You're trying to figure it all out, living on your own, doing the whole thing. I find out that I don't have a true friend in the world out there. I was laying there feeling so defeated. And so I decided that I was going to skate to the Danforth Chapel, which was the interfaith chapel that was on the center of campus there at ASU, a place that I had been many times, that had an 11:40 daily mass there every day that I tried to attend every day. And I went into that chapel, and I just sobbed. I felt so lonely and so just beaten down and devastated, and I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And I just sat there with the Lord in this feeling of betrayal, in this feeling of sorrow and loneliness. And I wiped all the tears that night into the sleeves of this shirt that you see right here. All the tears, all the snot, all the stuff, when you're just laying it all out there, all in that shirt. And for some reason, this is the truth, I never washed it. It's been over 15 years. My husband did not know about this shirt. I've never talked about this shirt with anyone. I've never shown this shirt to anyone, right? And you might think sobbing in the chapel, that's a little dramatic. You ever sobbed in the chapel before? Certainly, I know some of you have. Yes, thank you. I'm not alone. But I was an 18-year-old girl, and I won't speak for all 18-year-old girls in this room, but when I was an 18-year-old girl, I could be kind of emotional about things anyway, right? Just like me as a pregnant lady now, same thing. I was devastated, and I sat there with this new understanding as I wore this very shirt. This was the first time I realized really deeply in my life that following Jesus was really going to cost me something. It was really not going to be easy. It was going to be very challenging. And I sat there with this new realization and thought, wow, okay, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do this? And so I still have this shirt. Every single time I moved, which has been a lot of times since 2007, I felt the sense of, don't wash it, don't throw it away. Don't wash it, don't throw it away. And then I was writing this address to you, and the Lord's like, remember the shirt? The shirt was for now. And so you're like, you know, thinking about this, I thought about how pivotal this moment in my life was, of this realization of the cost of following Jesus. And many of you have had these moments in your life. Many of you will have more of these moments in your life. If you're just getting started on your faith journey, you will have a lot of these moments in your life. Tomorrow, the next day, a year from now, moments when Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 is spoken very clearly to your heart. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Following Jesus is going to cost you something. Denying yourself, the opposite of what our world tells us to do. Your life is about you, you, you. Get as much as you can out of it. Laying down your life in humility and sacrifice, dying in surrender to God in taking up our cross, right? And this comes along with challenges and obstacles. You will face challenges in living your faith today. I think it's really important to note that there are people in the world who are facing challenges because they follow Jesus much more severe than we ever will. Persecution that many of us will not face in our lifetime. I think that's really important to note. But you will face challenges and obstacles. You might be called hateful or awful or insane or fake or stuck up. Oh, you think you're better than everyone else? Holier than thou, right? What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? That's for all you DC Talk fans out there. All you old people out there. What will people think, right? People will think so many things about who you are and what you're doing, and they will not be afraid to share that with you. Some of you by your best friends, some of you by your family, by your colleagues, by your coworkers. Some of you will have to quit your jobs. I talk to a lot of people these days who have to quit their jobs because their morals and values do not align with that of a company that they worked for a long time, a job that they love. You might be intentionally ostracized and left out. You might be called all sorts of things, either to your face or online. You hateful bigot. You forced birther. You're pro-life. You hate women. And you will have to face it head on with a heart of love for Jesus. You will have to say no to so many of the things offered to you in our culture of filth and putrescence. Princess Bride fans out there, yeah, that was for you. You will have to say no to so many sinful attachments that we hold on to, like drunkenness and pornography and sexual sin. You might have to walk away from friendships, walk away from relationships, walk away from the man or woman that you love. You will have to say no to so much. And every walking away is a walking toward. Every no to those things is a yes to the Jesus who loves you and gave his life for you. It is going to cost you, and it is going to cost you, and it is going to cost you again. And then cost you again. And again in Luke chapter 14, Jesus makes it clear that the disciples better sit down and count the cost of dedicating their lives to him. In Luke chapter 14, verse 27, and make sure they are willing to pay it. He says, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? And Jesus says to them and to us and to me, I don't offer a cozy couch where you can order a chicken filet number one, get all the sauces you want, get unlimited refills on your Diet Coke, and put your feet up and rest. Although I would like that because I enjoy a chicken filet number one. Okay, I know it's Chick-fil-A, but chicken filet is more fun to say, okay? He says, I offer a cross, a way of life that is not comfortable or easy, a way of life that is not, doesn't always feel good, isn't always fun, isn't always enjoyable. But he continues to ask you, will you follow me until the end? Will you follow me until the end? And you could say, it's just so hard. And it's just so painful. And I hate being the weird one. And I hate that I can't live my life like everybody else. And I'm so afraid of what God is calling me to do. And I'm so afraid if I surrender this thing. And I just hate being the outcast. And I hate being lonely. And you could just lie down and do that. I've done that. Maybe you have too. Or you could say, I've counted the cost and I say yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. And you're like, I'm here, I'm ready. Yes, Jesus, whatever it is you want to call me to, I am so excited about it. To say yes in that way, sometimes our yeses look like that. Sometimes a yes is full of fear and trembling. Sometimes it's a yes that you can barely squeak out of your body. A tiny little yes with the Lord. Sometimes it's a yes with you and the Lord in your chapel with your snot-covered shirt, and you're like, Lord, I'm so tired, but yes. I'm so weary, but yes. I'm so broken down, but yes. I'm so hurt, but yes. And you will get to choose your response. There have been so many times where I squeaked out a weary yes. And the cost of discipleship will look different for you as the years and seasons of your life go on. As you choose to dedicate your life to Jesus, to say yes, to surrender, to follow him with all of you have, it will look different. That yes, that invitation from Jesus, his call on your life in every day, in every minute, in every season, and you get to choose how you will respond. And sometimes it will feel like too much. Sometimes it might feel too much. The cost for me now looks different than it did when I was a young woman weeping in a chapel at ASU. The cost for me now, what Jesus invites me into, is to say yes to growing this beautiful little baby that I'm carrying around in my body as a yes. Praise the Lord. As a yes in surrender and love to raise up this baby with my husband to be a saint for the kingdom. In a couple of months, they will lay me down on an operating table in the shape of Christ crucified. They will strap down my arms and they will cut open 7 layers of my body and my baby will be born. As I try to say yes with my whole heart to offer my body as a living sacrifice for my family. And it will be very challenging suffering. And it will be very beautiful. And it will all be worth it because a yes to the cost is always worth it. The challenge for this, growing this baby and giving birth in the way that I do personally, it is very challenging physically, it's challenging emotionally, but this is what the yes that Jesus invites me into, this physical cost of this physical challenge and suffering in my life, to say yes, and saying yes to that cost because the yes to the love and invitation of Jesus is always worth it. But sometimes it doesn't feel like that. So what do we do when the cost feels like it's just too much and it's too hard and it's too painful? What do we do about it? Oftentimes I wrestle with God and I weep and I fail and I feel so defeated and like I'm not doing a good enough job and like everybody has it all figured out except for me and I'm just so broken down. That's something that we can do. There are many avenues by which we could take, but one of the most powerful that I've found in my life is to praise God for the lives and the words and the testimonies and the witness of the saints. The saints who show us that even if the cost, right, by their love, by their dedication, by their surrender to Jesus, that even if following Jesus costs us our lives, it will have been worth it, right? These are the saints who are called the great cloud of witnesses, right? In the letter to the Hebrews, where it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. The stories of the martyrs propel us forward in a very unique way. Saint Jose Sanchez del Rio, right? A young man who at the age of 14 was tortured and tortured and tortured again and would not give up his faith, again and again saying, I will never give in. Viva Cristo Rey. Viva. Saint Maximilian Kolbe being another one who I know so many of us, yes, cheer for Saint Maximilian Kolbe, who so many of us gain inspiration and wisdom and courage from, right? And I think sometimes we think, oh, I know his story. I've heard that story before. I know about those guys. They're like, you know, the poster guys for courage and martyrdom and all those things, right? But have you ever thought that there were real visuals to their stories and to the courage that they had to show us? That if you quiet your heart, you can place yourself on those dirt roads in Mexico. After Jose had the bottom of his feet cut off. And if you place yourself in that scene, you can stand there and you can watch this boy leave bloody footprints step by step by step because of his love for Jesus. And you look at those bloody footprints on the ground and you let it propel you forward to say your own yes to the cross that Jesus may be asking you to carry. That if you quiet your heart, you can imagine, right? We hear about St. Maximilian Kolbe starving and singing a song of praise to God in the midst of his starvation, leading others to praise in the midst of starvation. It sounded like something. A starving man singing songs of praise to God sounds like something. And you can place yourself there, right? As he's saying in the face of unthinkable evil, knowing full well that the cost was his life and accepting that and saying yes. Even still, you can be there and you can hear his song and let it propel you on. Because the martyrs, right, in our world of selfishness, of self, 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 there are so many martyrs that we love that the world says, would say, are crazy. That there is nothing in this world that is worth dying for. And the martyrs tell us, Jesus is worth dying for. Amen. They are the ones who are cheering you on. When it's so hard and it's so painful and it gets so lonely, next week, a month from now, next year, they are the ones who by their witness, by their stories, by their words, by their writings, by their love for Jesus, right, will continue to resound for generations. They are speaking to your heart. It's worth it. It's worth it. You have no idea, they tell us, how beautiful the song of heaven is. You have no idea how exquisite the banquet is. You have no idea how beautiful his face is. They are cheering you on, telling you, say yes, say yes, say yes, right? Over and over and over again, at the cost of your reputation, at the cost of your belonging, at the cost of being accepted, at the cost of your job, at the cost of all of those things, at the cost of your life. It's worth it. They are the ones singing, holy, holy, holy. It's worth it. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Holy, holy, holy. It's worth it. May we all arrive at a day where we join in the song of heaven, because we never, ever stop saying by our lives, by our surrender, by our faithfulness, by our love for Jesus in everything, the cost is worth it. It will always, always, always be worth it. All glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening, friends. For more content from this podcast, please click the link in the episode description.